Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, good evening and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. We want to thank Dr. Skelton, Dr. Leroy Montgomery, Dr. Henderson, Dr. Wilmore, Dr. Butler, Dr. Beasley, Dr. T.C. Nicholson, Bishop T.R. Montgomery, Bishop Wilmore, Bishop Calton. We want to thank them for listening to us here at Live at Deliverance Center at Radio. Chaplain John Durden is going to teach the great right song. And before we do that, we're going to let his daughter bring forth prayer before we get the word of God. When we bring forth prayer, we're going to have two praise songs, and then Chaplain Durden is going to be able to teach the great white song. Sister Maureen, are you there?
Yes. Yeah.
Good evening, and you now have the mic for prayer.
Thank you, Heavenly Father. We ask that you pour out your spirit upon every household tonight. Grant us your wisdom and revelation of you. Open the eyes of our understanding of your truth and word. Grant us the mind of Christ, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Let every thought be brought to the obedience of Christ. Quicken us in your word and your truth tonight. Let thy kingdom come. Let thy will be done. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Because there's a lot of people, and a lot of people want to hear this. The Lord has given me word of knowledge. The devil's going to try to get me, John, and everybody upset. He's going to try to knock us off air. I'm getting that word of knowledge. If we get knocked off air, we will do this tomorrow. We will do this tomorrow. The devil don't want this out. Chaplain Durden, you got a mic.
Amen, amen, and amen. Good evening, everybody. For those of you who do not know me, I'm going to give me a little rundown of my education. I have three master's degrees. The first one was received when I was in seminary there, and as well as with the regular college. I have three master's degrees. One is in human resources, which means personnel administration, where I hired federal employees for 30 years. When I retired, the Lord called me into the ministry, and at the seminary, I obtained two master's degrees. One was in Christian counseling, and the other was in theology. As a result of the theology degree, I obtained a master's degree, two master's degrees, one in counseling and one is in theology. And I've been a chaplain for, I guess, 25 years, and I've retired 2 years now. 30 years as a personnel director for the federal government, and 25 years as a theologian at the hospital here in Atlanta, Georgia. So with that being said, that's my background. So I want to say to you all, good evening, and as a servant to be able to teach the word of God, to share the word of God once again, and it is my pleasure to fellowship with you. And my topic for this session tonight is the great white throne judgment. Let me repeat, the great white throne judgment. As we all know, prior to entering the kingdom of God, there are two big events. When I say entering the kingdom of God, I'm talking about going to heaven. And there's two things that we have to consider for judgment. There's what you call the great white throne judgment and the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is where the saved go for their judgment before they enter to heaven. And the great white throne judgment, that's for the unsaved. And I was asking a couple of friends of mine, I said, what do you think is the difference between the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne? I said, I don't know. He's being judged at both of them. But if you've been called to stand and be judged in the judgment seat of Christ, I want you to know, you'll save you. Those are the only ones that go into the judgment seat of Christ. But if you get a little invitation to come and go to the great white throne judgment, you're in big trouble. Everybody who attends that judgment is unsaved. Unsaved, period. Okay. Now, with respect to the judgment seat of Christ, concerning the judgment of believers, I want to say these few things. The following facts should be kept in mind. Number one, all Christians, not some, but all Christians will be subject to judgment. And there would be no exceptions. And you find that in Romans chapter 14, verse 12, and 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. It will. And then the second thing, the judgment will occur when Christ returns for his church. That's found in John 14:3. And then we know that the judge is Christ. The Bible says so. You find that in 1 John chapter 5, verses 22 and 2 Timothy 4:8. The fourth thing I want to indicate, the Bible speaks of the believer's judgment as something so fluid, especially since it includes the possibility of danger. That's all right. The believer's judgment will not involve a declaration of condemnation by God. Let me repeat myself. I say, the Bible speaks of the believer's judgment as something to consider, and we all going to have faced that, and there's two types. One is the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment. Tonight, I'm going to talk on the great white throne judgments. Now, you got to remember this. Moreover, believers will have to give an account of their faithfulness, their unfaithfulness to God. You find that in Matthew 25, verses 21 and 23. Their deeds in light of grace, opportunity, and understanding. Let me clarify that. When we go before the Lord to be judged according to our deeds in light of God's grace, the opportunity he's given us, and our understanding. So, and you find that in Luke chapter 12, verse 48. Another important thing I want to indicate, the believers, that's us, have deeds that we have to do. When we are forgiven with respect to eternal punishment, God will deal with it. In other words, he or she that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done. So God's going to judge us for everything we do. But if we are in this judgment called the judgment seat of Christ, then we are saved. The only thing we have to do is just have to give an account for some of the things he wants us to be aware of, you know, good things, bad things, unneutral things, or whatever. But we're still going to have to give an account for what we've done while we was on earth. But to judge us to go to hell, it's those folks who have to stand before the great white throne judgment. They are the ones, no matter what they say, all excuses and anything else, the bottom line is depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. So whatever good things any man does, he's going to have to give an account for it. Now, another thing I want to say, there will be either the gain or loss of joy. And you know what would bring that about, because some of us will be told, depart from me, and the others are going to be, welcome to the kingdom that I prepared for you. But remember now, there's two types of judgment. The judgment seat of Christ, that's where everybody who's saved is going to be called to, before the Lord Jesus, so they can be given the good news. Then you got the so-so folks who's playing with God, Christian one day, hellraiser the next day. They're going to be invited to the great white throne judgment, which we are talking about tonight. So I want to say, whatever good thing any man does, the same shall, not man, just woman, whatever good thing any man or woman does, the same shall be received the Lord. He's going to get, we're going to have to give an account for the good things. He's going to congratulate us and challenge us in these kinds of things. Another thing I want to bring up, there will be either the gain or loss of joy. You find that in 1 John. And when I say a gain or loss, that's because we're in the front of Jesus, right in the presence of Jesus, and he is indicating to us what he loved and what despised him. There will be either the gain or loss of joy. You find that in 1 John 2:28. Divine approval, Matthew 25:21. So we're going to get joyful news. We can get divine approval from him. Say, hey, I saw what you did. And first thing you did, personal Lord and Savior, you believe who I am. And then he'll tell you about the task that you've done, which you were satisfied with, as well as the authority he gave you, and you handled that authority very well. He's going to talk to you about the position you had while you was here on earth. And he's also going to reveal to you the rewards he's going to give you. Let me back up. Listen to this now. When you go stand before the Lord, there will be either the gain or loss of joy. You will have divine approval. You will have, he will judge your task that he's given you and authority that he gave you. He's going to talk to you about the position he gave you, whether it's a janitor, president, or the bishop, or whatever it may be. He also going to address the rewards that you earn and the honor he's going to give you. And then to cap it off, then you're going to get praise. All the angels praising you for doing the works of the Lord. Now, there's another thing I want to mention. when the book is open, there we would know the reckoning he has with us, what he wants to talk to us about. We will be given a report of our lives. You know what I'm saying? He's going to open that book, and he's going to give us a summary, a report of our life, whether you live 10, 15, 20, 40, 50, 90 years. And another thing, Apostle John tells us this in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, of books being opened and of people who are dead and who being judged. And listen at this. There were another book called the Book of Life, where all believers' names were recorded. They will inherit eternal life. And on that last day, Jesus will pass judgment on every person. Now look what Revelation 22:15 says. Revelation 22:15 describes the final event of all human history. And this is the final judgment of all who died lost, never having repented or having received Christ as Lord and Savior. Let me repeat that. Revelation 22:15 describes the final event of all human history. And this is the final judgment of all who die lost, the great white throne judgment, never having repented or having received Christ as their Lord and Savior, the great white throne judgment. And some additional things I want to say. We will experience the darkness hour of human history. We are looking at the Supreme Court of the universe. I'm going to talk about that. I mean, that was light to me. We are looking at the Supreme Court of the universe, where God is the judge. All the lost will be judged and the verdict recalled. You hear what I say? The Supreme Court of the universe, that's when it involves the great white throne judgment. And, you know, that white throne can kind of throw you off because, I said, white throne, so everybody see white and impurity and that kind of thing. But the great white throne judgment is strictly for the unsaved. So when you get your, when we get our little notice and you go up in heaven and we in this holding place wherever we are, and you get your little ticket, say, come on, you've been welcome to the great white throne judgment. Hot diggity dog. So you think the word white means purity kind of thing, and then you walk in and find out that you and there were millions and millions of lost people who's going to get the announcement that they're headed for hell. I want you else to know, moreover, we will experience the darkness hours of human history when that time comes. We are looking at the Supreme Court of the universe. That's Jesus in the Supreme Court they have up in heaven. I call it the Supreme Court. We are looking at the Supreme Court of the universe. All the laws will be judged. All, y'all, not some, but all the lost will be judged. And the verdict reads, unsaved. Now, let me share a few scriptures with you, and then I'm going to detail some notes about those scriptures. 1 John 5:22, it says this, moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment, what, to his Son Jesus. He gave Jesus that power and authority. And look what John 14:6 says. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to me, comes to the Father except by me. Matthew 12:36 says this, but I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. So I suggest, especially some of you who be calling Brother Emmett and I and be blessing us out and calling us all kinds of names and everything else, racist names and these types of things. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. Now listen what Hebrews 9:27 says. Just as man is destined to die once, and after that, he got to face the judgment. He or she got to face the judgment. And then my main scripts I have, it comes from when you have time, read Revelation 20:11-15. That's where I'm coming from. Revelation 20:11-15. 11 says this, then I saw a great white throne, and in him who was seated on it, and then earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And there was no place for them, talking about the unsaved. Verse 12 says, and I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The Lord's going to be doing, the angel going to give the Lord the book, and he's going to read it, and he's going to tell everything that you've done, from the good deeds to the bad deeds, to all the anger, all the cursing, all the screwing and everything else, because every time we do step out that door, notes are being taken on our speeches as well as our actions. And I'm going to address a little bit about each one of those. Another thing I'm going to say about it, verse 13 says this, the sea gave up the dead that were in, and death and Hades gave up the dead. Let me say that again. The sea, verse 13, the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. I want to add another word to it. Each person was judged according to what he, the other word is she, has done. Hades or hell were thrown into the lake of fire. How about that? Even the angel of death and Hades, the hell, were thrown into the lake of fire. And the lake of fire is the second death. It's what we call the second death. Now, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Those guardian angels and those big tough angels are standing right there for God's order. Say, okay, throw him in the lake, throw her in the lake of fire, kind of a thing. It's no excuse. And I want to talk about, you have a chance to go to court. I want to talk about the heavenly court, which I saw in another book I was reading. I said, wow, this is interesting. Now, something else I want to say. You're going to have a hearing just like we have here on earth. And this took me when I found this. And I'm going to give you a little insight on what the heavenly code is like. Okay? I titled it this, Several Aspects of the Great White Throne Judgment. Let me say that again. Several Aspects of the Great White Throne Judgment. There are seven aspects, components of the Great White Throne Judgment, and I would like to share with you, and guess what they are. I'm going to talk about the courtroom, you know, like when you die and then you got to go to the court and then God's on his judgment seat and Jesus standing there too. Well, I'm going to give a little insight about the hearing. You have the courtroom. I'm going to discuss that. I'm going to talk about the judge. You know who that is. That's the Lord Jesus. Then we're going to talk about what happened. You're going to be accused of these things you've done when you're on earth. Then you're going to... Then the Lord and his angels are going to introduce the evidence to show that what they're saying about you really happened, that they didn't thought it or think it or dream it. They were gossiped on, they relied on. No. The Lord, the angels are going to give God the evidence. Then when I say God, I'm talking about Jesus. And then I'm going to give you some of the defense, what some of these folks would say. And then I'm going to give you the verdict. And I got scripture for every one of those things, but I'm not going to outline all the scriptures you never get through. All right. The seven aspects and components of the Great White Throne Judgment. The first one is the coat room. You got to have a coat, right? So when you're being drowned. The next one I want to talk about is the cue about the judge. Who's the judge? And how does he judge? The next one, when you go to coat, is going to talk about the accused. That's the person who is unsaved and don't know it at the time because he's in the great white throne judgment. And then after I talk about the accused, I want to talk about the evidence, how God got that evidence on you. He's not hoping, he's not thinking, he's not guessing how the Lord gets his evidence on you when he takes, you did this and this and this and this and this and that and those and them. And then we talk about the defense. with some of the so-called saints defense they gave, which wasn't worth nothing. And then the verdict. We'll discuss that. Now, and then the sentence. Listen to this. I'm going to talk about the coat room as designed. I'm going to talk about how you're being accused, what defense some of them give, which ain't no good. I want to talk about the judge. I want to talk about the evidence that they obtain on you. And I want to talk about the verdict. What's the verdict for a crime such as that or sin such as that? And then I'm going to talk about what you're going to serve. How many years you're going to serve? And then I said to myself, are you ready for this? This is what I said to myself. Okay, the first one I want to talk about is the coat room. Because every time we're being judged, we got to go to a coat, right? The coat room. The word speaks of the great, the coat. It's in the building called the Great White Throne. Great White Throne Judgment. Now, let me tell you. The great. What that means is the word speaks of power. The law standing before the throne will be overcome with the incredible sense of power, awe, and fear. Can you imagine? See, John, your time, you number two, come on up here, boy. And they come up there and you'll say, oh, my God, and you're looking at Jesus staring at you. You know everything about you. You don't even need a book, no tab, no nothing. He's God. He can tell you everything about yourself, what you've done from the time you were a baby, the time you passed on this earth. Let me say that again. We're going to talk about the great white throne judgment. Great. The word speaks of power. That's what great means. The law standing before this throne will be overcome with the incredible sense of power, awe, and fear. Can you imagine standing there and say, well, come on up in. Well, let me see what I'm going to say. And you're looking God right in the face, and you're trying to think of what you're going to say. He knows everything about you. And you're going, I made a mistake, you know, these kind of things. And I'm sorry. I don't want to have that mess. Okay. All right. I'm going to go to the next thing about great. I said the great speaks of power. The laws that standing, people who unsaved standing before the throne will be overcome with the incredible sense of power. Well, yeah, of course. Jesus is all power. He's awesome. And he's to be feared. Another thing about great. Some talk flippantly. Well, you know, Lord, some talk flippantly about what they are going to tell God. Amen. You going next? Well, I think they're going up alphabetical order. Man, I'm glad my last name starts with a Z. I got a lot of time to think about what I'm going to say to God. Some talk flippantly about what they are going to tell God when they see him face to face. Yeah, right. Some talk flippantly. Well, see, you don't know everything, Lord. You don't know what happened, how I was mistreated. Some talk flippantly about what they are going to tell God when they see him face to face. Yeah, right. Another thing about the great. The person who never got saved will not be able to do or say anything. They will realize that hell is not a place of party. I don't know, when I was a child, man, I want to go to hell, man. They party down there. They want to say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Man, I can party and jam. But that is not a place of party. It is a place of consuming fire. What did you say, Brother John? I said it is a place of consuming fire. And then you got the great white, address white, great white throne. White. White speaks of purity. This speaks of the unpardonable purity of God. When I say God, I'm speaking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Again, this speaks of unpardonable purity of God, whiteness. You may ask, why is this so important? Well, since you asked, because many on that day stand before God and want to say, but I'm a good person, Lord. I'm a good person. I ain't never killed nobody. I ain't never steal nothing out of no store. You know, not treat the wife and the husband right, kind of a thing. Let me say that again. Because many on that day will stand before God and want to say, but I'm a good person. But that will mean nothing. The only way you and I can be pure enough to stand before God, we better have our act together, and we must have been washed by the blood of Jesus. Washed by the blood of Jesus, receiving him as our personal Lord and Savior. I ain't talking about joining the church. I'm talking about accepting Christ as one Lord and Savior and being born again. And I'm not talking about one who is goody good shoes on Sunday, but on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, he or she's a whoremonger, a liar, a theft, and these kinds of things. God keep record, because you're going to faint when you stand before him. And he said, the book, please. And that big old warring angel stepped forward and said, here you are, sir, and getting that big book. And that book got everything you've done from the time you were born to the time you died. You can't get around him. And then you know what? Thinking about the power of God. He doesn't need the book. He can tell you exactly what you're doing. He can tell you everything. Just like when he speaks to his people, he can speak to a Russian, a German, Japanese, all at the same time, and they would understand what he's saying because he's giving them that understanding. Psalm 51, verse 7 says, purge me, and I shall be clean. Wash me, Lord, and I shall be whiter than snow. Now, we talked about white, about it being purity, you know, kind of a thing. Okay, now I want to talk about, let's see, which one I do. Well, there's another one I want to talk about. Let's see, I want to talk about, well, I talked about greatness, about being great, and about being about white, what it means, purity kind of a thing. And when we stand before him, we really going to have to be God, if we can't pull no jab with him. And then the third one, the throne. And throne represents sovereignty, king. Sovereignty, king. The throne speaks of royalty. It speaks of supremeness. It speaks in terms of you are ruler, you are authority. That's what, when you're sitting on the throne, you're the hot shot there. Throne means sovereign or king. That's what throne means religiously. Throne, sovereignty. King. He's sitting, the king, Jesus, is sitting on the throne. God is sitting right there next to him, but he gave the authority to his son Jesus to mete out the penalty. Like I said, the throne speaks of royalty, supremeness, being a ruler, or one with authority. God himself will be in charge. When I say God, I'm talking about Jesus. God himself will be in charge on that day, folks. He will know you. He will know your thoughts. He will know your lies. He will know your stupidity. All that. He will know your thoughts. Why are you standing before him and you think about what I'm going to say? I guess I'm going to tell him this, maybe that works. And he can read your thoughts. Why are you thinking what you're going to say? He's listening to what you're saying. And on top of that, he knows what you're going to say even before you think it. That's how powerful he is. He is powerful, y'all. He is supreme. He's a supreme ruler. He's a supreme creator who allow us every breath we take. The Savior Christ Jesus died in our place. Remember that, okay? He died in our place. And the one who called for your repentance time after time after time again, he can tell you, you know, from the time you was 30 to the time you was 90, I myself or the Holy Spirit were nudging you to give up what you've been doing and to accept Jesus, me, as your Lord and Savior. But you kept putting it off. You know, I remember when I was young and when I had this great-grandmom who loved the Lord, she was trying to get me to get saved when I was 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And I said, I will. But I thought of it this way, going, well, if I do that, then I have to go to church every Sunday. go every Wednesday. And then I got to be hollering, holy, 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 and can't smoke no cigarette, can't drink no liquor, can't go to the bar rooms and all these kinds of things. You know, that was stupid. That all the way up to the time I was 30 years of age. And there I was, minding my own business as a GS-13 with the federal government, making $67,000 a year. I'm sitting there going, thinking I have it cool. And then all of a sudden, a voice spoke to me while I was in my office. Said, John, my son, don't you know if you die tonight, you are not into my kingdom? Well, I said, what? I said, I'm imagining things. And it was repeated. And it struck me so hard, I jumped up, went to the supervisor, who was the personnel director. He gave me the day off. I went home, not home. I went to sit in the park because I didn't want to go home early because I didn't want my wife to ask me why I'm coming home so early. And that thing amazed me. Then I went home at the normal time. About 5 o'clock, I left the park and went home. And then when I got home, I was questioning. You know, I lied about, oh, everything's fine. And do you know that happened 3 o'clock that day? The very next day at 3 o'clock, the same thing happened. I was sitting there behind my desk, minding my business, and this audible voice says, John, don't you know if you die tonight, you are not into my kingdom? It blew my mind. I jumped up, ran to the supervisor, and can I have you? He said, I let you off yesterday. What's your problem? And I go, well, you know, no problem. I just got some business. This last time, he said, okay, let it be. And this time, I sat in the park, waited about 6 o'clock, then went home so the wife wouldn't ask me. So I went to bed that night, and this closed this testimony right here. I was sleeping fine. Then 3 o'clock in the morning, I heard something, John, and I sat up and I go, honey, did you call me? Well, she was sleeping. She didn't hear me. And I went, oh, no. I look at the clock. It was 3 o'clock. The man knew. God spoke to me that on Wednesday at 3 o'clock, Thursday, 3 o'clock, and here's Friday. And it says, Friday morning at home. My son, don't you know if you die tonight, you're not into my kingdom. I started screaming and crying. I couldn't hardly sleep that weekend when I went to work the next day, and that's when I got saved. When God nudged the base commander, the big general himself, he came to my office, introduced himself, and told me that the Lord sent him and that he was saved and that it's either heaven or hell. Well, I'm not stupid. I said, the base commander come here to see me, and he led me to the Lord, and my life had changed ever since. That's how I got saved, God personally, because I was sitting up in that church where they were teaching you salvation with being a member of the church. That's what I was brought up to believe on, because I got to be a big-time deacon someday, you know, and all this other kind of stuff. I thought I was on my way. Now, I want to talk about another thing. I said white speaks of purity, right? Mm-hmm. And then I said the throne speaks of sovereignty, like king. He's on the throne. That's meaning the powerful one, the powerful one. Then I'm going to talk about the throne. He sits on the throne. And the Bible says this, which in his times he shall show or reveal who is the blessed and only ruler, the only ruler, the only king of all kings on this earth, and the Lord of all lords. You know, over in England, there's some people, they call him Lord this and Lord that. That's their title. So throne, talk about the throne. The Bible says, he shall show or reveal who is the blessed and only ruler, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's Jesus. Those, remember now, those who are before the throne will realize, and then when I say before the throne, I'm talking about you standing there and he looking at you and you're going, oh, God, here it is. Those who are before the throne will realize that everything they ever lived for on earth is gone forever. You know, people got different reasons for living. I want to be rich and famous. I want to be a movie star. I want to be a sports player and you know, all these kind of things and get to be well known. I want to be a millionaire. These are my goals and stuff like that. And Jesus is nowhere in the plan. Those who are before the throne will realize that everything they ever lived for on this earth is gone, gone, gone forever. Everything they put before God is gone. All of their possessions, all of their pleasures, all of their prestige, all of their big-time family gone, disposed of, and they are left what? Alone. They're left alone with God, who now must what? Dispose of him or her or you or me. So we're going to have a given account my sister and brothers in the Lord. We're going to have to stamp on him, and then he going to say, what did you do? He just spit it out to you in a minute. All the stuff we gave, but look what I got. I got this $1 million home, I got this BMW, and I got this, and I did that, and all this stuff. I got the prettiest wife, the most handsome husband, you know, and I'm very popular, and I am, let me see, I am a bishop, I am a pastor, I am a doctor, I am a surgeon, you know, and all these kind of things. What about Jesus? All of their possessions and pleasures and popularity, as well as their prestige and the family, you know, some family got great names and all that. I'll come from the family of the Durdens, you know, kind of thing. So they're going to have to give an account for all that. And they are left behind because they talk about what they had, how much education they have, you know, I'm a quadruple, I'm a this and that and everything. You know, God don't care about that. God will say, when you get up there, you better not worry. I was a triple crown bishop. God said, I'm sorry. I want to hear you talking about you were in love with me. You fathered me. You praised me. And you worshiped me. And you led others to the Lord. You didn't lead others to go to bed. You led others to the Lord. You didn't let you didn't tell this man that he was a man. You supported his infirmity. You supported his little sissy self. Instead of telling him, say, hey, look, Bubba, you're breaking the law. And, you know, it's a sad thing. And now in the church, I see men got breasts, real breasts, walking around there and support it. Now, I heard one guy say, well, John, the word says, for God love us all. God so loved the world. That's all of us. I'm not saying he doesn't love the homosexual, lesbians, and so forth. He love them all, but he doesn't love their lifestyle. And that's why you were there, to tell them they're walking the wrong path. And if I can spit out 20 scriptures right now, if I had the time, where it's an abomination for a man to go to bed with another man, or a woman to go with another woman. And those who allow that in their church, they're going to get, I mean, because that person is not saved. And if they see you doing it as a leader, whatever leader you are, they're going to think it's all right. Well, hell, he's a bishop, or he's so-and-so, and he is the head preacher, and she is the choir director, and she is this, and she's that. And then, boy, when you get your butt up there in front of him, you tell him, hey, Lord, where's my house and home and everything? Depart from me. But let me tell you, I don't make mistakes when I make a creation. When I made that man a man, he was a man. But I made that woman as a woman. And you supported that man that was okay for him to be a sissy? Wow. That's pitiful. See, I didn't have that in my thoughts this evening. But the Holy Spirit led me to say that because a lot of that is really going on. And I want you to know, those who are before the throne will realize that everything they ever lived for on earth is gone, y'all, forever. Everything they put before God, well, Lord, you see this and that and them, all the excuses. Everything they put before God is gone. All of their possessions, all of their pleasures, all of their popularity, all of their prestige, all their family, I come from this kind of family. We got a name. We know citywide. All that stuff is gone, disposed of, and they are left under God alone. Everybody's looking, turn around and let you stand there with God and tell how much, oh, you got, how heavy you are, you know, because me and Brother Emma get that a lot too. I want you to, I'm heavy. And then sometimes I count about saying, how much you weigh? I know what they're really saying. But that's pride. And when somebody come with me with pride, it burns me because I don't hate the guy. It's just that he's saying that out of ignorance. He don't know. I'm heavy. Watch what you say. We've been told that a dozen times tonight, me. I want you to, I got a doctor in this, and I got a doctor degree, and you watch what you say now. I'm watching you. I'm heavy. And I just say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive him. I want to slap him, but I can't do that. I'm heavy. And I make fun and say, how much you weigh? Because that doesn't impress me when somebody say, I'm heavy, because that brings sorrow in my spirit. Because God, that's one of the things that make people fall, pride. Mark chapter 8, 36 says this, for what shall it profit a man or a woman if he or she shall, what? if he or she will play with God and lose his or her eternal soul. Can't play with God. Then I got another apartment. The first one, I said, you have the courtroom. You have the cues. That's all those sinners going to stand up before him. And then you got a defense going on with, well, Lord, you see, you don't know my story. You know, I'm sorry, but I've had troubles in this area and that trouble and everything else. We talked about the judge, and we know the judge is Jesus. God gave that authority over to his son Jesus, you know. So, but I'm going to talk about the judge a little bit more. The judge. You ask, who, Brother John, is the judge that sat on it? It's not the partner. The Lord says, for my Father judges no man, but has committed all judging to the Son Jesus. He gave Jesus that authority.
Okay.
He's going to
we
judge.
We got, Chaplain John Durden, we got so many people in this room. So many theologians. We got 180 outside locked out. Need some more space for the teachings. And Dr. Pilton is going to donate and volunteer some money for me so we can get some more digital space for everybody. Mm-hmm. And we would like to ask, can you pick up tomorrow at 7 o'clock? Because there's going to be a lot of people. Can we pick up at 7 o'clock tomorrow from 7 to 9, the Great White Throne, where everybody, and they begging me, man, we want to hear. We can barely hear what he's saying. We want to interact in the room. And it would be that's fair with everybody because we have a lot of people. And it's been a very wonderful teaching, Brother John. I tell you, I've listened to you, and I ain't never heard you teach like this. This is not you. This is strictly coming from the Holy Spirit. Companion, compassion in it, the knowledge of this that you have is amazing, and the Lord is really using you, brother.
Amen, amen. Yes, so no problem. We can pick up.
What we're going to do, and Dr. Gilmore said, I'm trying to write everything, Reverend Durden, and I had to go back over. You were going at it there. Amen. He said he loved it, though. Dr. Simmonson said they enjoying it, and they enjoying it. The church like it. But no, you don't need no standing ovation. Now we don't need to do all that, y'all. Don't do that. You don't want that.
Yeah,
they clapping.
We'll just start all over
That would be good, they say, because they can pick up, they can get the notes again. Yes, 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 he say.
Okay.
They're writing it down, and it's going so fast. And they say that they are happy with the information. They just don't want to miss the information.
Mm-hmm.
And
so,
Dr. Gilman is 78 years old, and he got a little hearing problem, so he going to get his hearing aid adjusted.
Amen.
He said he was enjoying that, man. He loved Revelation. He said... He talked really, you right on point. Dr. Gilman said you're on point. Leroy Butler on point. Dr. Wilmore said monitoring. There's no need to monitor. There's no need to monitor the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. Oh, do it. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's the Lord. But,
And tomorrow I like to see, I'm going to share too about what the Lord think about the accused. The accused is the person who say, I accuse you of wrongdoing. You're on your way to hell kind of thing. And I want to share with you, what type of accusations God has against mankind, you know? And I want to share that.
All right.
That's
going to be tomorrow.
Talk about. Yeah. Since y'all want me to teach tomorrow, too, that's what I'm talking about. That's a part of this session. I wasn't through. I'm just halfway through. Because I want to talk about what
they said they enjoy. They said they enjoying it. And they want you to go back over so they can write it down again. And if you got the...
Okay.
A teacher again, they don't care. We'll have you to go back over. We want to learn. We're tired. Rev. Moten said, I saw Dr. Billman in the air, and I saw that demon put a rammer pole up his ass. I saw it, Rev. Durden. We saw it. We was at church.
Wow.
We saw it. So So we know this stuff is real, man, and we trying to learn. We are tired of the Baptist church. Yeah. Ain't nobody teaching nothing. You going to get this in no church because people don't want, pastors don't want to deal with Revelation.
Yeah. So, yeah, in my mind, I'm going to add the stuff to it.
That'll be fine. We will all get back tomorrow at 7 o'clock. He's going to add some more stuff up. I'll put it posted on the bulletin board to let him know that the other topics will be available on the web post. We'll have some more data space tomorrow. And we really have a good praise report of this, Brother John, and everyone is very, very happy. They said that you talk very well. It's them that can't comprehend that we want to go back over to hear it again for themselves, not because you're doing anything with them. You're giving them the knowledge. Just they're old, Brother John. They got to comprehend it, you know. We got three college students here from the University of Southern California, Theological Studies.
Okay.
Saying that you're doing real young folks say, oh, we keep it up very, very well, very fine. We have our computer modulators. So they, the younger crowd, they got you. I got you. This is the older brother, Rem Tillman's in 88. Say, he says he'd love you, brother, on the 88 now. Be easy on him.
I'm going to put his name on my desk for tomorrow. Hey, what time tomorrow?
He said, you don't need 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. Okay.
All right.
Yep. That's
we'll
fine.
See everybody
I got some
tomorrow
more powerful stuff I want to tell you. I'm going to tell you all the different kinds of sinners and everything there is and excuses they use. It's in the Bible.
All right.
You see that?
All right.
I've been reading that Bible before. Okay. Take care. God bless you. I'll talk to you later on tonight.
Okay.
I'll talk to you later on tonight.
Again. Hang on, wait a minute, Brother John. I got time for my announcements. You was cutting into my announcement. Wait one minute. You didn't mean no harm. Tomorrow, Chaplain John Durden, the Great White Throne, and what else, Chaplain Durden, you'll be teaching on?
Do we speak in tongues? Is tongues still relevant today?
And is tongues, and what else, Chaplain Durden?
Yeah, you said you wanted me to do a quick spill on is tongues relevant today.
Okay, that's fine. Tomorrow, the great white throne, the coming from the book of Revelation, and this thing that tongues have ceased, the theological error in the seminar, and he's going to correct me. We want to thank Reverend Brighton, Reverend Thompson, Reverend Gilmore, Reverend Dilmonton, Montgomery, Hollinson, Wilmore, Atkinson, McNugget, Ferguson, Donaldson, Wilmore, Jackson, Montgomery, Bilton. I can't read all y'all. God bless everybody, Brother John. And thank you so much. And I really enjoyed it. No joke, Brother John. That came straight from the Holy Spirit, the way you broke that thing down, man.
Thank you, sir. I've been talking to him all day.
Amen. It paid off. It paid off. God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Okay. Hey, call me later if you want to talk to me about anything or share anything.
Okay. All right.
Take care.